2012. I don't know if 2012 messes with anybody's head. There's been lots of talk about 2012. I'm not too terribly worried about that and as far as that goes. But, you know, one of the things that's interesting to me is that at the new year, we have a tendency to look to the future, do we not? Right? Maybe everyone does it a little bit differently, but there's that thought of a fresh start, a new beginning. And I think in a lot of ways, we kind of hope that, you know, that one evening, this one evening will make a big difference in our life. New possibilities, new dreams, new hopes, new ideas. As you can tell, some people get real dramatic with the whole thing and they decide to start their new year with a whole brand new wedding and a new marriage and everything else, which is awesome. George and Janine, who obviously will be celebrating their wedding with them in just a little bit under an hour here, they wanted 2012 to begin with new hopes and new dreams that they shared together, that they started on together. So I thought that was a beautiful thing. Now, of course, most of us, we will not be ringing in the new year with anything quite so dramatic. Most of us will probably, if you are prone to such things, you're probably going to begin the new year with a few New Year's resolutions, perhaps. Those ideas of looking, apparently not John, but some of you perhaps, maybe, might be looking in that way. And, you know, I think when we make New Year's resolutions, and John, I get you, man, I do. But I think when we think about New Year's resolutions, I think in one sense, we're kind of taking the new year seriously, right? I mean, we're thinking about the future and what could be a new start. And with the morning of January 1st, which is just a little bit away, comes not only a new year, but I think for many of us, it comes with a hope of a new me, right? Hopefully you're not thinking, I hope you're not thinking that. I hope it begins with a new Tony, but a new you, right? A new me, a new different person, a change in ourselves. And of course, the trouble is, more often than not, that when the new year comes, year in and year out, we quickly realize that while the year may be new, it tends to be the same old me. It tends to be the same person. And I have to confess, and maybe this is like you, John, I don't know. I tend to have a bit of a New Year's resolution phobia. It's just kind of part of it's my personality, and I'm not saying that's a good thing, but I tend to avoid such things. However, shortly after we got married, Deb and I, a long time ago, I thought, now that I'm married, I'm going to be having kids, I got to start thinking a little more soberly, right? Be serious about it. And so I would actually start thinking about New Year's resolutions. My worst year, 1994, okay, our son was about 6 months old or so, and I thought this is, and I had 10 of them, and I wrote them down, this is how serious I was, pen to paper, the whole bit, and I don't remember every one of them, but I'm pretty sure they ranged from eating less, exercising more, among other things, I suppose. By the end of January, I'd broken most of them, right? You guys know, you understand what I'm talking about. By the end of February, I had forgotten them all. I didn't even remember what they were. They were just completely out of my mind. So often for a lot of us, in those first few days of January, we come to realize what unrealistic human beings we are, as well as how undisciplined we can be about our resolve in doing certain things. And the trouble then, of course, is that you have the wonderful, wonderful experience of beginning the new year with guilt and failure, as well as, you know, any other baggage you might be bringing into the new year. Now, as you can tell this evening, we're taking a bit of a break from John, the Gospel of John, which we've been going through verse by verse this past year. And though I don't tend to be kind of a topical preacher, that's not really kind of my thing. The new year is a good time for such a thing, to look at these different ideas and talk about the new year and what it will hold. And whether you're beginning a new year as a new husband and wife or you're beginning it as the same old you, these are good things to talk about. And I think in that sense, we can look at the new year from three different directions. We face the new year from three different directions. We face yesterday, We face today, and we face tomorrow. Those are the three things that I want to take a look at tonight. Let's start with facing yesterday. That can be a daunting thing for some people, having to look at the past, to take a look at what has happened in the past. Now, you know, the Israelites were no stranger to this idea of looking back. As a matter of fact, over and over again in the Old Testament, what did God remind them? Remember, right? Remember what I have done for you. Remember where you've come from. Remember what I have done in your life. As a matter of fact, Moses once encouraged them with these words from Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9. He said, "Be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen, or let them slip from your hearts as long as you live." And you know what? I think there's some truth there for us. I really do. I think it's important that we face yesterday and the year that's behind us. Because quite honestly, if we don't, our resolutions are not going to last. They're not going to last at all. I mean, how many times, maybe you know exactly what I'm talking about, how many times have we made absolutely, completely unrealistic resolutions simply because we failed to look at the past? We didn't even take into account what we already know had happened. We already took into account what we had seen in our past. See, we need to face it honestly, squarely. Not with, you know, rose-colored glasses on one extreme, and not with the, you know, the doom and gloom glasses. Those are mine. I don't know if you have a pair. But the doom and gloom glasses from the other extreme, okay, that's not how we're supposed to face it. Now, I agree. You know, there might be some of you who, you know, 2011 was a pretty lousy year, you know? I mean, I just heard that on the news the other day. They were interviewing people all over the United States and asking them, "Did you like 2011? And, well, the answer was a resounding no, it stunk, you know? And I'm sure everybody had different reasons why. But maybe when you look back on 2011, it's not something that you really care for. It's not something that you enjoyed. On the other hand, 2011 may have been so fantastic for you that now you're afraid it's not going to last. Now you're afraid, oh my gosh, what's going to happen now? You see, as much as we might want this new year to be a completely new start, the fact is it doesn't start in a vacuum, does it? It doesn't. It follows what has been. And I believe that's why God says to us, remember. Remember what I have done and what has been, the good, the bad, the indifferent, because all of it has brought you to where you are right here tonight. It's all part of your story. And lots of people's resolutions are flawed right from the beginning because they never bother to look backwards and to consider the past. So guys, I encourage you, think about this past year. Maybe do so as a family. And think about the things that you can be thankful for. Consider those things that you were pleased about. Maybe those things that were hard. Those things that were difficult. Things that you learned. Maybe you've got a good list of things that, you know, that you want to get rid of. Maybe some habits that you want to keep. These are good things to talk about. As a matter of fact, James wrote this in the book of James, chapter 1, verses 23 and 24. He said, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of a person he is." I think there's a little bit of what we're talking about there in those verses. The point is that even in our walk with the Lord, when it comes to the things we've seen and the things we've heard in His Word, in the Scriptures, the past is important. We learn a lot from the past. We learn from all that God has taught us through His Word and through our own experiences that He's taking us through, so that what we're doing today and what we're going to do tomorrow is positively affected by those things. As a matter of fact, if we don't, we're going to kind of be like that guy James is talking about. You know, that guy that sits there and looks at himself in a mirror and, hey, yep, there I am. And he walks away and boom, right out of his head. A hearer, not a doer. We'll remain in those same old sins, those same old ruts, the same old condition. So, on the cusp of this new year, I believe the Lord would have us to resolve, if we want to make a resolution, to resolve to squarely and honestly face all of our yesterdays. However, after saying all of that, are you supposed to live there? Are you supposed to live in the past? No. No, we're supposed to live now. We reflect on and we review the past in order to resolve to continue on, but God doesn't intend us to live in the past. He just doesn't want you to forget it. Looking back on all of the truths that He's taught you, looking back on His goodness and His faithfulness, all of that is intended to root you in that rich soil of your faith so that you can continue growing in the new year. New things, new challenges, new directions that the Lord wants to take you in. You know, the Apostle Paul, he knew all about this. Listen to these words of his. This is from Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. He says, "Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus." You know what Paul's talking about right there? He's talking about facing tomorrow, isn't he? He's talking about facing tomorrow. You see, Paul knew, maybe he knew me, knew that people like me existed. He knew that sometimes when we look at our past, what do we focus on? All the bad stuff. Any of you do that? Any of you like me in that regard, right? Those are the things that we kind of perhaps kind of dwell on. The negative, the hurtful things, the frustrating things of maybe even just this past year. And you know what happens when we start to go down that path? The enemy of our soul, boy, he loves that. He follows right in behind you and he starts whispering in your ear. And he tells you stuff like, you know what? You're right. Nothing's ever going to change. There's no hope. There's nothing new. There's no bright future. And so Paul here, in Philippians, he brings balance, doesn't he, to this idea of remembering our past, of facing our yesterdays. See, it's really not a great idea to go into the new year only looking over your shoulder. I don't know if you've ever walked down the street doing that. You have a tendency to run into a lot of things, right? You know, without seeing them. And so, obviously, you know, we want to try and focus on where we're going. That's true of our spiritual walk, as Paul makes clear here, but it's also true of any other area of your life. Whether you're making decisions for your family, you know, or just considering changes and improvements in yourself, you need to not only consider where you've been, but you need to focus on where you're going as well. That's what Paul's talking about. So where would you say that you're aiming right now? Which direction are you facing in? See, in facing the new year, we're all facing some new possibilities, right? New opportunities, whether that, you know, involves the wonder of a new marriage or just making your own personal resolutions. It is important for you to think about. I really do believe this. It is important for you to think about where you want to be this time next year. Where do you want to be with the Lord? What do you want your relationship with Him to look like? What disciplines of life do you want to see birthed in you? What do you want to see in your character that is strengthened, that's developed? Perhaps there are some bad habits you'd like to get rid of. Maybe some character traits you want kind of shaken off. You know, the old saying is very true. If you aim at nothing, you will hit it every single time. And I think in a sense, that's a little bit of what Paul's talking about. There are the issue of goals in a Christian's life, looking to the future. But that future revolves around the Lord, doesn't it? It absolutely does. So remembering what you've learned from the past and being full of hope for what might be, what are you aiming at this year? What are your resolutions? What do you want to see? Maybe you want to know the Word better. Maybe you want to understand more the Word of God. Make it more of a regular part of your life. Maybe you want to grow closer to the Lord. You want it to be a more passionate part of your life. Maybe it's become kind of dry. You know, kind of stale, and you want to be like we were just singing, you want to be on fire. Lord, light that fire again. And these are great resolutions. These are ones that please the Lord, that I guarantee you He condones these. When we're making those sorts of, when we're telling the Lord, Lord, I want to be in love with you more. I want to know your Word more. I want to follow you more. He's going, yeah. You know, that's something he can get behind. That's something he wants to encourage. Now, of course, there are all sorts of more functional things. Maybe you just want to be healthier, you know, fitter. Maybe you want to be, you know, slimmer. Whatever it is, guys, think about tomorrow. But don't just think about it. What I'm asking you to do is pray about it. Pray about your tomorrows. And allow the Lord to direct you to the kind of person that He wants you to be. As you can see, this takes effort, doesn't it? This is not something that happens by osmosis. This is part of something that you approach the Lord with and talk to Him about and pray about. Let Him make you into what He wants you to be. The kind of mother or the kind of father, husband or wife, friend, neighbor, you know, employer, employee, whatever it might be that He wants you to be. And then commit to those things. Commit to those things that He shows you, those things that should be true in your life. And if I can, just kind of throw this out there to, you know, those of you that belong to Jesus Christ as you're considering this new year, let me encourage you all to also give some time thinking about those with whom you would like to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is another pretty good resolution. I know sometimes we get a little deer in the headlights sort of thing going when we start thinking about that. But what I'm saying is begin prayerfully talking to the Lord about people in your life that He would have you minister to in this way. And maybe write them down. I don't know if you keep a prayer journal or something of that sort, but write their names down. And as you go to the Lord each day, pray about those people. Pray about them. Pray about your opportunities. Pray about how the Lord would use you in their life. And then see what He does in this new year. These are the prayers, I know George would certainly attest to this, these are the sorts of prayers God answers. When you start saying, Lord, I want to talk to people about you. I've never seen the Lord go, nah, not really, no, not today, we're not going to do that. We've all been called, and so this is a way in which, you know, keeping that resolution idea in mind that we can begin, you know, to look at that new year and how the Lord would use us in that. So, you know, as we stand here on this New Year's Eve, let us resolve to face our tomorrows with hope, with determination, and with the direction and the power of God Almighty. Now, if the Word instructs us about remembering our yesterdays, and if Paul gives us the balance to that with looking to the future with our Lord, then what does that leave us with? Today, right? That leaves us with today. Now, does God's Word have anything to say about how we are to face today? Well, it absolutely does. A lot, as a matter of fact. But I think there's some truth here in facing today that brings some balance to our focus on tomorrow. In the words of Jesus Himself, I think we are given the proper balance, not just of that one issue, but probably of our entire lives. Listen to His words from Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 through 34. He says, "Don't worry about things, saying, 'What will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear?' These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your Heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and His righteousness, and He will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today has enough trouble of its own." Now, I am absolutely certain that Jesus had me in mind when He spoke these words. As I mentioned before, I tend to have a bit of a phobia when it comes to New Year's resolutions. And the reason for that is when I begin to focus on tomorrow, I almost immediately begin to fret about how it's going to happen. I begin to fret about how that's going to come to pass and how it's going to look, how that's going to be accomplished. Well, with these words from Jesus here in Matthew 6, Jesus is giving us the balance to a focus on tomorrow, isn't He? And that balance is in two parts in His words. The first is what He mentions last. He said, "Today's trouble is enough for today." You probably all have heard that said before. In other words, in light of the long-term perspective, how can you get there? How do you achieve that? Well, I think Jesus would come along and He would say, just concern yourself with today. Just concern yourself with today. You've considered the past. You've remembered the past. You're focused on the Lord's future goals for you. Now, restrain yourself to dealing with those things just one day at a time, step by step. So if, you know, for example, you know, your aim, your resolution is to be healthier, just as an example in the new year, how can you do that? Well, I when I ask a question like that, I remember a riddle I used to hear all of the time when I was a little kid. It goes like this: how do you eat an elephant? Answer, yeah, one bite at a time. And that is exactly what we're talking about here. So if you want to get fitter, I would encourage you not to make your resolution to run a marathon by the end of the month. Okay? Fairly straightforward, but that's kind of, I think, a little bit of what Jesus is talking about here. You know, what can you realistically do today to move towards the goals that the Lord has set in your life? If you want to develop a better relationship with your kids, you know, how about, I want to spend another hour a week with them doing what they like to do. You know, if it's your relationship with the Lord that you're thinking about, you know, if you want to grow in your relationship with the Lord, I would tell you, don't necessarily resolve to spend an extra 3 hours a day praying. Because you're not going to do that. You're not going to keep that one. But how about an extra 15 minutes? How about an extra half hour? See, that's within our grasp. That's doable. Now, understand, I'm not saying that we shouldn't stretch ourselves. I'm not. I'm not saying we should settle for whatever is easy. I think we definitely want to, you know, encourage ourselves to set our sights high, to work hard at those things that the Lord has said is important in our life. But when Jesus comes along and He says, "Today's trouble is enough for today," we should take Him at His word. And I think what He's doing, it's a call to be realistic as well as optimistic. So as you move toward tomorrow, with hope and determination, remember, step by step, one bite at a time, one day at a time. The Lord can handle whatever's out in the future. He certainly can handle whatever's taken place in the past. What we need to think about is just today. But that second bit of balance that Jesus mentions here, that he brings to us from Matthew 6, and I think this is the most important, verse 33, where he said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." Guys, that's a balance that supersedes everything else. I know we know this verse. Probably most of us do. But what we're saying here, what Jesus is saying here, is that as we're considering our yesterdays, as we're looking forward to our tomorrows, our focus in the here and now has to be on one thing and one thing only. And that is our Heavenly Father. His kingdom, His righteousness displayed in us. That's our focus as believers in Jesus Christ. Right here, guys, we have the ultimate balance to all things in life. And I know what our flesh does. I know. I know we look at that and we go, well, wait a minute. You know, I mean, don't we have to kind of balance that out a little bit? I mean, no, we don't. That's our flesh talking. This here needs no balance. This isn't a command of Scripture that we need to say, okay, I need to balance it with this and that. No, there's no balance here. No one will ever be able to tell you legitimately that the Lord is too important in your life, that the Lord is too central in your life, that He's too much in your life. Well, I'm not saying they won't say it, but it won't be legitimate. It won't be true. In fact, Jesus is telling us here that if we want to find balance in our lives, in all areas of our life, you know, past, present, and future, if we're wanting to find answers and provision in all of the areas of our life, then it begins with a focus and a passion and a love being focused solely on Him. Guys, that should be true of each of us. And I don't say that in a condemning way, because the fact of the matter is, it's speaking to me. I think it's probably speaking to all of us. He is all that we need in this new year. I know there's lots of things we want. We might want better health, maybe better job, maybe a job, maybe, you know, maybe we want better relationships or whatever it might be. Guys, the reality is that if you want to find those things and the answers to those things, they begin here. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And what does He say? And all these things will be added to you. I'd say that's a pretty good resolution. As a matter of fact, you could almost say, I don't need 10, I just need 1. Because all of the rest of my resolutions will pretty much figure themselves out if I just do the one. Guys, every other thing that would compete for your focus, everything else that would compete for your passion and for your love will never satisfy you. It will never guide you. It will never love you. It will never provide for you as your Heavenly Father will. Why would our focus be anywhere else? Why would our love and attention and passion be anywhere else? So let me encourage you this new year to face yesterday and all that the last year was. Don't hide from it. Don't shrink from it. Don't romanticize it, but face it. And then face tomorrow. And all that you want to do and all that you want to see happen as the Lord guides you in those things. And then face today. Face today. Wake up tomorrow morning resolving to make the Lord the true centerpiece of your life. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you for this wonderful time that we can come together and worship you, to think on you, and to think of how your word applies to our life. Lord, I don't know all that's going on in the hearts of my friends here tonight, Lord, but you do. Nothing's hidden from you. And you know those areas of our life that we would like to see changed and be made better or different. You know the goals that we might have. But Lord, tonight, I want to pray for myself and for those here tonight, Lord, that we would seek You first. That all of our hopes and dreams, all of our desires would all fall underneath the reality that we seek You first. That You would be the answer to all our questions. That You would be the one who guides and directs us. That our goals would become Your goals. Our hopes become Your hopes. And Lord, we pray that You would make us like You in this new year. Make us more like You than we have been. We love You, Father. You have given up everything for us as You sent Your Son. How can we not lay down our life for You? By making You first and not ourselves. Lord, I ask that You would bless this new year. That it would be a year filled with You. And we ask this in Your Son's name. Amen.